Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST on any order at manscaped.com. That's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I'm scrolling through. It's like 6 o'clock Friday night, and I get Daniel Craig, ladies and gentlemen, the weekend. It's like, you know what, Daniel? Damn right.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's nearly the weekend for us here on Almost Entirely Sports. No better way to wrap it up than with our friend Matt Verderam. I'll give a quick shout out to somebody on Twitch here and also let you know that you can watch the show, interact with the show. Frankly, if you get here during a Verderam segment, you leave a good question, I may even ask it to Matt. You can watch the show, interact with the show on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch channels. Thanks to S. Wallaby on Twitch for the Prime subscription. Really appreciate that. Helps us out. Helps us continue to flesh out all of our video streaming platforms. Always something that's been a lot of fun for us and also a great way to interact with the show if you so choose to go that direction. So thanks to S. Wallaby and everybody who's been engaging through the video feeds. We'll now talk to the aforementioned Matt Verderam. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam and read all of his work on fan. Sided. There's the Stack in the Box podcast, Stack in the Box column, everything you can find through Twitter at Matt Verderam. Matt, a pretty uneventful sort of draft week, right? You had 200 and some players selected. Maybe Aaron Rodgers wants out. Maybe he'll get out. Maybe he won't. Maybe the Niners surprised us all. Really just pretty by the book this last week and change.
Yeah, just a nice big vacation for me. nothing to cover. This Aaron Rodgers stuff, look, I get it. Like, it's great for ratings, and it's good for fodder, and that's all fine and well. It will not stop me from my vacations this summer. He is not going to ruin my summer. I don't care how hard he tries. So that's the only thing that I really stand for right now on things. I don't care if he plays for Saskatchewan. I'm not losing my summer as we follow the world turning with him, through June and July and God knows in August.
I mean, we've gotten plenty of mileage out of quarterback drama already within just 2020. Yeah. But if you had to make the call right now and you say, all right, here's what I – just with the information that I have, where do you think he's going to be when the season starts?
I think anyone who says they have a real good idea is just a liar. Hmm. I mean, unless maybe you're Schefter, because I think Schefter's the most plugged-in human being alive, or maybe – you know, I'm not going to be the guy who gets on here and is like, you know, I've been talking to people who say, that's, come on. I mean, most people in that organization do not know what's going to happen with him. I mean, my understanding of that situation is basically everybody else's understanding, which has been that he's ticked off and he doesn't want to be there. Now, I think that's been a pretty open secret for a while that he's been pissed off with them.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not to the point where he says, I want out. But this is been going on since Jordan Love got drafted. I mean, it's been a while now that everybody's known that he's kind of felt this way. He was really disgruntled when McCarthy was there. And fair enough. I think the way things just went in Dallas maybe said that he wasn't totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, look, I'll say this much. If I were team president Mark Murphy with the Packers or I was Brian Gutekunst, I would not trade him. I don't care how much he stomps his feet. I don't care if he threatens to hold out. I don't care if he does hold out. I don't care if he retires. I would not trade him. I would not be the person that forever is remembered in Green Bay as the guy who traded him.
Mm.
And I'm not saying they won't do it
mm-hmm.
because teams hate bad PR. And if he really causes a scene there, they might just say, you know what, we're moving on. But everything you hear is that Jordan Love is not ready to play, which brings up the other side of this, which is, first of all, you traded up in the first round for a guy who, if he doesn't play next year, you're telling me that he wasn't ready for 2 years at the NFL level and you trade up for him in the first round?
Yeah.
That's not great.
Yeah.
Like, that's not ideal. And then on top of that, like, you start hearing these things about, well, you know, they're going to need a quarterback to be brought back in a deal that can play next year. Well, if that's the case, you know, Denver to me seems like the team that's most ready-made along with maybe Miami
mm-hmm.
that could come out and win right away. But if you need a quarterback tomorrow, are you really enthused about bringing in Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Locke?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not. I think at that point maybe the Raiders do make more sense because you'd say, well, they have Derek Carr. Who say what you want about Derek Carr is worlds better than anybody Denver has, right? And yeah. So I think everything you hear is that he'll get moved, but I personally think Green Bay is crazy. If Jordan Love's not ready, I wouldn't move him.
Two things from that jump out to me. So one is I didn't expect you to just go, yeah, he's going to be in Denver. But the specifics of you going, yeah, I don't know, that's a different answer than you gave me whenever we were talking about Russell Wilson, right? Like, whenever we're talking about Russell Wilson, it was, yeah, there's something going on there, but ultimately it feels like he's going to end up sticking around in Seattle and they'll figure it out. It feels like there really is that feeling of, who knows, around Rodgers. The other thing is my favorite part of the story that I don't feel like people are talking about enough, and that we haven't really talked about because the draft happened and that's been our main topic, but like, if Jordan Love stinks, this whole thing has been a huge mess that the Packers have put on themselves for literally no reason. Like, if they really thought, because here's the thing about this, where if I was going to give them credit, right? If they thought, we think we got one more year Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to give 1 year to our backup guy, this rookie that we're going to trade up for, Jordan Love or whoever else, in this case Jordan Love, and then we're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, and then we're going to start Jordan Love. I don't love, no pun intended, I don't love that strategy, but you know what? That is a strategy, and at least you've got a plan there. Where, if that's the plan, Aaron Rodgers winning MVP last year should not end up derailing your plans. It should make it even better. It should be a known fact that you're moving Aaron Rodgers because you're going to get a king's ransom for him, and then you're going to have even more guys to put around Jordan Love. But what they can't seem to decide right now is who they want their quarterback to be, and that is a nightmare.
Well, I think a lot of this stuff was born out of when McCarthy was there at the end of his tenure, the last couple of years. Rodgers had a couple of years, he had some injury issues. And when he was on the field, he was still very good, but he was not the player that he was last season.
Right.
Now, the Packers, you could certainly argue, made their own bet even in that regard because they kept Mike McCarthy forever when it was clear as day that that wasn't going to work. And, you know, McCarthy and Rodgers were just having at it behind the scenes. Well, you bring in LaFleur, and Rodgers was fine his first year at LaFleur. He wasn't great. Like, I totally understand why the Packers maybe looked at this and just said, you know what, maybe we need to start thinking about the future. He's in his late 30s. The mistake that they made, in my opinion, is they didn't talk to him about it.
Yeah.
Not that he needed to sign off on it, but just, hey, Aaron, look, you've been great for us for a long time. You're still our guy, but we're going to move on this kid. We like his potential, and in a few years, maybe he's our guy, but we just want to give you the courtesy. They should have done that.
Yeah.
Then you start hearing these stories about, well, you know, they tried to get Justin Jefferson, but then they decided, I mean, that's nonsense.
Yes.
Like, what are we talking? You're going to tell me that Jordan Love was your fallback option? If you drafted a first-round quarterback as a fallback option, you're an idiot. no way in the world that that's accurate. And if it is accurate, everybody should be fired.
Right.
I mean, that is insane. It's like the story we talked about, the Niners all in the draft. Like, you better know who you traded up for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. So the one thing I will say real quick that I do think is a very interesting wrinkle that I'm sure somebody has talked about, but I haven't heard talked about. The Packers don't have an owner.
Mm.
They're owned by the fans. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like, if this was the Cowboys, Jerry would be real involved.
Yeah.
Okay? Even if this was a thing that happened in Kansas City, Clark Hunt would be behind the scenes, would certainly have a lot of input into what happens.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody driving the bus there. Like, yeah. Mark Murphy is the team president, and he's as high as it goes. Nobody's firing Mark Murphy. So, for an example, if Mark Murphy just says, I'm not trading you, I don't care,
mm-hmm.
there's no owner to say, hey, look, man, we're getting a lot of really negative PR here. Let's move him. There's nobody to do that.
Yeah.
So I do think that is one thing to keep in mind here is this is an organization that's unlike any other in power structure, and it's also the smallest market in the league. This is not a situation that is normal in terms of structure and in terms of local scope. So I do think all that stuff plays into this.
It's just so fascinating. It was fascinating when they drafted Love, because you're right. So the other element of that, by the way, is the way the contracts were all panning out. Like, moving Rodgers seems like it would still be financially difficult, but they knew that whenever they drafted Jordan Love, so whatever.
Sure.
But I mean, like to your first point there, do you know how many problems you can generally avoid if you just, like, treat people with respect of any sort? Like, that it seems like on such a core level, if you're going to find me an instance of a player being a diva or whatever, right, whatever word you want to use, if the core of it is, well, I haven't felt like I've gotten the respect that I've tried to give back to people, man, that's a pretty reasonable thing to be a little bit bent out of shape about, or at least to no longer really have faith in your management of an organization like that. If you're Aaron bleeping Rodgers and you don't feel like you're getting an email to warn you what's coming, or at least like a decent conversation, it's gotta feel very disrespectful.
I'm sure it does. And, you know, you think about it, and we're obviously on air in Kansas City. I think you look at the Chiefs and who they have a quarterback, and, like, the future is Mahomes for probably the next 15 years,
mm-hmm.
okay? But there is going to come a day where they're going to have to start thinking about what's next. Now, that day is going to be hopefully 15 years. Oh, I won't quite be retired. But although, hey, you never know, maybe.
Right.
But,
right.
I mean, the point being, you know, that is something that you have to handle with delicacy and aplomb, and you need to be smart about it. And the Packers just, there was none of that. And listen, I will say this, because we've been kind of banging on the Packers here. Sort of this also falls at Rodgers' feet, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this idea that, like, he's carried this schlep team to the end. Like, they're really good.
Yeah.
Like, let's put it this way. If he was in Cincinnati and he wanted out right now, they'd be one of the teams. You'd be like, geez, he goes there, they're going to be really good.
Yeah.
So this idea that he had the best offensive line in football last year.
Mm-hmm.
They have Devontae Adams. Robert Tonyan's a really good tight end. They have a really good pass-catching running back. They have a coach who's a very good – the coach is 26-6 in the regular season. Like, this is a team – a defense, it is fine. It's not great, but it's fine. Like, they can win with the defense. This idea that, like, he's somehow been so just screwed over by that. Now, look, they have not been a team that's very active typically in free agency, and they've not drafted highly with the offensive weapons, but they're very good.
Yeah.
Like, to be, you know, it's not as though, like, when Carson Palmer wanted out of Cincinnati, that team was a tire fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That is a whole different deal. They're the cheapest organization in the sport, have been for 30 years. Okay? That's different. So when Rodgers, listen, I get it. Like, he has a right to be upset. I'm not saying he doesn't. The Packers also have a right to say, hey, look, man, we're pretty friggin' good. And you're sitting here whining about it all the time, passive-aggressively. And, you know, look, I think in the end, does he get traded? It seems like most people around the situation on a day-to-day basis think he will be. If he does, it's probably the biggest trade of a quarterback since Joe Montana to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I mean, and it's somewhat similar, though Montana was coming off of 2 years of being hurt. Obviously, Rod's coming off an MVP season. This is even bigger in a lot of ways, although Montana was probably the better player. But It's going to be fascinating. And if, I'll tell you one thing, though. You know, the Texans, when they were talking about with Deshaun Watson for all the legalities,
mm-hmm.
Watson has a no-trade clause. He had a lot of leverage into how he wanted to push his way out of town.
Mm.
Rodgers is not of a no-trade clause. And I get the feeling that while there's no love lost for with him to the team, I think that's a mutual exchange.
Yeah.
They're not going to care if he wants to go to Denver.
Mm.
If they can get a better package from Cincinnati, like that's what's happening.
Yeah.
If they can get, I mean, no, he's not going to Cincinnati, but the point remains, they will take the best offer. They don't care where he wants to go. Where Watson had that power to kind of steer his way, Rodgers has no ability to do that.
Here's one more thing that I am genuinely just thinking of as you're kind of floating out other teams, and then I do want to talk to you about some draft stuff. But you said at the beginning, and even Schefter has since said this, which is kind of wild, nothing new happened on draft day. Like, there's been sort of this bubbling since they drafted Jordan Love. Why didn't this get more run earlier? Because if you give me if I'm the Colts and you say, hey, I'm gonna take a shot here, or if I'm the Panthers, AFC team, NFC team, obviously, but like if I'm the Colts or the Panthers and I can try to make a run at Aaron Rodgers instead of Sam Darnold or Carson Wentz or even the Broncos pre Teddy Bridgewater, like, why wouldn't I have made that call? Why wouldn't that have gotten public sooner?
That's a great question. And yeah, that's the thing that was so weird about it leaking on the draft. And now Schefter's come out. I thought it was actually a very fascinating interview. He talked to Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
And he talked about the fact that, yeah, you know, this was something I just decided to break on draft day because things were seemingly getting close, which I believe. I also think part of that, maybe wisely, was the fact that ESPN had the draft.
Yeah.
And how do you want to get monster ratings for that? Well, let's break it that day.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is one of the things, too. This all plays into it. Like, if Rodgers really desperately wants out of there, and by all accounts he does, why wouldn't you just come out, do an interview, and just say it?
Yeah.
I mean, just come out in February and say, look, I love the organization. And even if you don't, just say it. I love the organization. I love the fans. I love my teammates and coaches. But it's time for me to move on. And you would have forced their hand. I think in that case, 100% he gets traded. The reason I think there is a real chance this becomes a major stalemate here as we get into the summer. If you're the Packers, what is the benefit of trading him right now compared to March of 2022?
Mm.
Like, you're not getting picks until the 2022 draft, unless there's a draft I'm not aware of coming up in July.
Right.
Like, there's no benefit. At this point, that draft is come and gone. So if I'm the Packers, I'm saying to him, look, man, you're either playing here or you're asking somebody for their daily double answer. That's it. Like, and I will call your boss. I do not care. You are not playing anywhere else this season. Now, after this year, you want to revisit this? Fine. But we're not moving you before this season. If you play football, it will be with the Green Bay Packers. And I also think, if you look at this from the Packers' standpoint, look, play it out. What's the worst-case scenario? He either plays and he's miserable, but who cares? He's on your team and he's playing and it's fine. Everybody says, well, but what if he's miserable? So what if he's miserable?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? I mean, there have been plenty of miserable teams that have won championships.
Yeah.
Like, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Then you say, okay, well, what if he holds out and he plays part of the year? Okay. As long as he's back and you're still in the race, that's fine. If he goes nuclear and says, I will retire, I will file retirement papers, that to me is the biggest bit of leverage he's got. Because if he does that, then the Packers are stuck with the option of like, okay, well, now what? I mean, we can't, you know, we're going to play Jordan Love, which, again, if they're not ready to play Jordan Love, then that pick screams just disaster to me. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
But if he retires, he formally retires, then you start looking at, well, geez, I mean, did we blow an opportunity to maybe get three first-round picks? You know, but again, is he really going to just permanently walk away from the game with it? I get it. Like, he could. But if he does that, the team then has the legal right to say that we get your signing bonus back,
mm-hmm.
which is approximately $30 million. And, oh, by the way, the money you're going to make this year, you're not going to make. You keep losing like $60-some-odd million.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. He's not doing that.
Yeah.
That is just not going to happen. So if I were the Packers, I'd call his bluff, and then after this year, I'd deal him.
Yeah.
But I'd make a play in Green Bay.
I think you're so right, though, about you could have done that a year sooner if you really wanted out of Green Bay that bad. Do that for a full season sooner by having that interview after the Super Bowl. Be the biggest story after the Super Bowl. Let the parade happen, and then all of a sudden you're on the front page now, and you're going to end up in Indy or Carolina or Denver or Vegas or San Francisco.
Right.
Like, I mean, yeah. that would have made all – maybe that would have been the team they wouldn't have wanted to trade him to because they could have made him look stupid. But, man, depending on what you get back, if you got the Trey Lance number 3 overall pick haul, doesn't feel all that bad. I don't know. Well, I'll take that segue to ask you if anything from the draft really surprised you. Obviously, we spent a lot of time talking about Mac Jones. They end up taking Trey Lance. I don't know if you've got a theory as to, you know, were they trying to run out smoke screens the whole time? Did they change their mind at some point at 3? Do you think that was that big a surprise? Or if anything else, you went, you know what? That right there, that's interesting to me.
I mean, I have no inside knowledge what the Niners did. My gut feeling, and I'll die on this hill. Yeah, I think they originally went up for Jones. And the only reason I say that is there's just no reason to run a smokescreen.
Right. So you have the pick. Yeah, you have the pick now.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like, you knew who the top 2 guys are going to be, and you're 3rd. I think that they were thinking about going Jones, at least some faction of the building was, and they got such vitriol back from the fans and from the media that they went, you know what, maybe not so much. Now, I don't think it was like 100% Jones, and then they swung all the way to land. But I think it was maybe like a split in the building or something. Mm-hmm. And then they just said, all right, you know what, we just can't. We're going to get annihilated publicly if we do this. But I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. I'll be the first to admit that. That's something where that's just kind of a guess. I don't know that for a fact. As far as what surprised me, you know, maybe the Rodgers stuff factored into it. I was surprised Denver didn't take Fields at 9.
That was my next question. Absolutely. Yep.
How do you not take him?
I don't know.
Like, I just, you know what? And everybody says, well, they got a really good corner. That's great. That's great. You're no quarterback. Like, I mean, that's fine and well. You got Patrick Surtain. Who cares?
Yeah, doesn't matter.
There's nobody who can play quarterback.
That's right.
So that's a problem. Maybe they just don't like Justin Fields or Mac Jones. And if that's the case, okay, you don't want to just panic and take some guy that you don't want. But if Justin Fields goes on to have a really good career,
yep.
Yikes. I wasn't surprised at the Raiders' reach because that's what the Raiders do.
Mm-hmm.
They've done this every year now. I mean, they took Cleveland Farrell at 4, and right after the draft said, we don't really see him as a sack guy. Okay. That's good.
Good work, yeah.
But I, you know, there wasn't, other than that, I mean, a couple of picks I thought were really good. I'll just do quick. I thought the Vikings did really well. They traded back in the first. They got Christian Darrisaw.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a nice job. And then I thought the Chargers, I mean, to their credit, I thought they, along with the Bears, had the best drafts. And Cleveland, actually, those 3 teams. I thought they did really, really well. Jacksonville, I mean, look, they get a good grade just because they fell into Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
But, like, you're drafting a 3rd down back in the 1st round?
That's unbelievable.
What is happening?
It's unbelievable.
You're going 15 games in a row. And you have, by the way, a really, really good rookie running back.
Yes.
And Urban Meyer goes, well, you know, we want a 3rd down back. That's great, Urban. Take him in the 5th round.
Right.
Like, that was just – and I love, by the way, people who just are in the pocket of some of these people fall all over themselves. Talk about, oh, you know, it was a great pick. Urban Meyer has a vision. No, he doesn't.
No.
No, he doesn't. And you just, look, maybe he's a source for some people or whatever. They hope he's going to be a source for him. I mean, that's about as in the pocket as you can be. Call it what it is. That's an awful pick.
Awful.
I don't care if Travis Etienne turns into an all-pro. It's a stupid pick for a team that lost 15 straight games to end the season and needs a million different things. Like, the last thing that team needed was a running back. That's like if the Chiefs had traded up in the 1st round. Says, you know what? Another running back, please.
Right, right.
You know how I feel about
running backs in the 1st round, generally speaking.
You're not a fan.
I'm not a fan. I've made this statement publicly. But at least if you were the Chiefs last year, you could make an argument that you don't have other, like, huge needs.
You depth
needs,
Super
whatever.
Bowl.
But you won the Super Bowl. All right, fine. The craziest thing.
Pick.
The absolutely. And I don't think they should have made a luxury pick there. We've been over this. But if you're the Jags, you have lots of very real needs. And also, the Jags should be the team in football who understands better than anybody else that you can get great running back production super bleeping cheap, super late, or even after the draft. They should know that as well as anybody because they have James Robinson and they learned nothing.
Well, look, I actually will rescind what I said about it. It's the same as the Chiefs trading up. It's worse.
It's worse. It's worse.
The Chiefs could have traded both their second-round picks to get into the first round, and they could have taken Travis Etienne, and it would have been smarter than what Jacksonville did.
That's right.
Because the Chiefs could sit there and just go, who cares? We're still going to win 15 games. I mean, it makes no sense. And sometimes, you know, you really do look. I mean, I reached out to one personnel man in the league who's been in the NFL for almost 30 years now, and after the draft, and said, who was your favorite class? Who had the best class in your eyes? Who had the worst? And he loved the Dolphins draft. He didn't like the Saints draft. But made the point, which, I mean, every smart person may say, call me in 2 to 3 years, and I'll really tell you what I think.
Right.
You know, but, like, the Saints, I thought, reached a ton. I agree with his assessment. And it was interesting. Everybody's going crazy about the Jets, and I thought the Jets had a good draft. But let's be real. Like, let's just say it. How good's Wilson?
Right.
Because the rest of it means nothing if you can't play.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing I will say. That I as someone who I know has a very sunny disposition every time I come on here, maybe it's a New York in me. I can't stand, you know, like, I don't mind draft grades at all. If we all do them, that's fine. But you go on to some of these sites, and it's like the worst grade a team got is a B-.
Mm-hmm.
Just come out with it and be like, this draft stinks, F. But nobody wants to do that because, well, geez, you know, if I do that, I might offend the one source I have who's the mail carrier in Vegas. just say it. Like, some of these drafts are going to be terrible drafts. Some of them, the process was awful. Like, I don't know if Alex Leatherwood may be a wonderful person and he may end up being a great player for the Raiders. It was a horrible process to take him at that point. It's also a horrible process to draft three safeties in the same class. They go in with a six safety look this year? Like, what do they do? That kind of stuff to me, you may get lucky occasionally, and hey, it worked out, we lucked into it, fine. But I got to be fair. I thought Kansas City's process this year was fantastic. I really did. Like, they trade a first-round pick for Orlando Brown, and I know from seeing your tweets, you're a big Tevin Jenkins guy, and I like Tevin Jenkins, and maybe he turns out to be good, but he slipped to the second round potentially for a reason. Orlando Brown is 25 years old, and he's a great player.
Yep.
Like, you get that guy. And the Chiefs, I thought, look, Nick Bolton, I don't have a strong opinion either way. I think he's got potential. We'll see how it works out. They get Creed Humphrey at the end of the second round. There were some people in the league who thought Creed Humphrey's the best center in that class and thought he might go around 40. Like, that's a great value. And then, of course, at the end of the draft, I personally really like Cornell Powell. I think he's a really interesting guy to get out of Clemson in the fifth. I think he's got a lot of upside for him. He reminds me a lot of Jason Avant. I think he's somebody who could be like that, which you say, well, Jason Avant averaged about 600 yards a year in his career. If Cornell Powell turns into that or a little better, that's awesome. And then they draft Trey Smith in the sixth round, which I get it. He falls because of the medical concerns. I talked to Jeff Schwartz after the draft about that, and he had him on his show on Fox Sports. And we talked about that. I mean, Jeff feels like he's a first-round pick and in terms of talent. And if I went back and watched the two games, he is mauling people. And you know how talented you have to be to basically not practice for huge portions of the last 2 years, and you're a first-team all-SEC guard? I mean, it's not exactly the Mountain West.
Yeah.
Like, you're pretty good. So I thought the Chiefs did a nice job of kind of letting the board fall to them, letting it work its way out, whereas some of the teams in the division, specifically out in Vegas, I looked at and just said, what is that? Is there any plan in place, or is it just, hey, this guy's a gamer. Let's take him. Okay.
I've been battling the hiccups for, I bleep you not, Matt, 3 hours off and on. And I'm trying to time out the hiccups to respond to the things you're saying. I'm nodding at
this
everything.
This is the fourth time he's gotten them.
It's been a brutal stretch of about 3 hours.
Just chug water for 30 seconds.
Here's the thing. I have a big water bottle, and it's almost completely empty because I keep going to the water. I'm willing to try anything. Josh, I'll snort cayenne pepper, whatever.
You're doing an interview. Would you like me to go get you some water?
No, I'd like you to ask Matt about the trio of Cornell Powell, Noah Gray, and Josh Kando. Never mind. I did it. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. You're not well.
I'm not well. No, I want to say, actually, you're the second person to compare Cornell Powell to Jason Avant, which I think is very interesting on this show.
Who the heck beat me to it?
Craig Stout beat you to it last night. Yeah. He was the first person I had heard say it.
I like Craig. That's fair enough.
You guys are in good company mutually now.
Idea. But that is exactly who reminds me. So I'll have to bother Craig and let him know that we see the same player. But I think for the Chiefs, I get the fan who says, well, we really wanted a guy earlier in the draft, like a Terrace Marshall, okay, who they could have taken. They took Nick Bolton instead. I get it. But I think for the Chiefs, they look at it as, if we build up our offensive line, which they, at this point, it's inarguable that they've done that. If you build the offensive line to a point where you can give Mahomes a really good unit in front of him, I don't care who his receivers are. They're going to play well. You know why? Because if Mahomes is upright and clean for 3 seconds, he's going to find somebody.
Yeah.
Hardman will get better simply because Mahomes will have more time to throw the football. The same is true of Robinson. You have Hill and Kelsey. I really like Powell. I watch him. He just, somebody, look at him, and it's like, he ran almost, what I think was a 4.47, 4.48. He's 6 foot. He's not that fast, but nobody ever catches him. He's not that big, but he always high points the ball over the corner. You just kind of watch the guy. He just play football. I don't care what it is. Measurable. You can play flat out. And so for me, I like that. The pick. Look, I think actually Brett Veach in the presser right after the draft said this. They, along with a lot of other teams, were not high on this tight end class. Mm-hmm. Other than Pitch, who's terrific, most people in the league did not see this as a good class. But, Gray was a guy that they believe obviously has some talent. They traded up a little bit for. I know that makes our mutual friend Nate Taylor thrilled, because Nate's been screaming for a backup tight end since, 1982.
Since he got on the beat. Yeah, he was covering the Pacers, saying the Chiefs needed a backup tight end.
I've been telling him, if they take one, it's just for you.
Yes.
Because you've been pounding that table. Now, he had to wait a little bit. They made him sweat it out. But they take Noah Gray. And, I don't want to try to carefully craft this opinion. He is not going to be Travis Kelce. Okay, if he is, that is the luckiest pick in the world.
Right.
And I think the Chiefs acknowledge that. When you watch him, though, it's a skill set in terms of just the way he plays is similar. He's not going to be a guy who you're not going to, now Kelsey's actually, to his credit, turned into a very good blocker. But he's not going to be a guy at the beginning of his career, much like Kelsey, who was an inline blocker very often. He's a guy who you're going to try to get him out of space. You're going to run some routes with him. And I think, he may be somebody who ends up just being James O'Shaughnessy. And he just kind of sticks in the league for a handful of years, and he's okay. And that's frankly, more likely than him ever approaching Travis Kelce levels. But when you watch him, I could see why the Chiefs like him. I mean, he's a very similar type in the sense. I think he can run some decent routes. He's got some athleticism to him. And the Chiefs have needed a backup tight end for a while. I mean, that's been a position where they really have kind of struggled. I think last year especially. So it's a solid pick, day three. And then with Kando, that's just a pure upside pick. That's a pure, hey, you know what, look. Kid came out of high school, I believe the number 4 prospect in the country. But, we think he's got traits. He's long. He's twitchy. We've got a great defensive line coach, Brendan Daly. We've got a really good coordinator in Spags. Let's see if we can't, get something out of this kid and see what he's got. So if you take that guy in the second round, or if you're the Saints and you take Peyton Turner in the first round, I think that's a bigger – to be fair, Baltimore took Jason Oue, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. He had no sacks last year.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he won't be a good player, but you're really believing in the potential of the player. That scares me a lot more at pick 29 than it does in the fourth round where the Chiefs took Kane, though.
That is another version of one conversation that's been had a lot around here, which is, first of all, acknowledging that Kane is a very different football player and has a whole lot of different traits even than Tano Pastrino and certainly than Breland Speaks. But the thing that does keep coming up is their position and also where they were drafted. You take that shot at 144 and you still end up getting the guys you like after that. All right, fine. If that was the pick they had at 63 instead of Creed Humphrey, or even at 58 instead of Nick Bolton, that makes me nervous. At 144, yeah, sure. Good luck, Spags. Good luck, Brendan Daly. I'm interested to see what you look like at the end of a couple of years.
Yeah, no doubt. And listen, I am someone who, I have nothing against the analytics of football, but I do think sometimes we go so overboard. And if you don't believe in every analytic, then you're just an idiot. And how could you ever possibly not believe in the analytics of things? And sometimes I say, well, you do realize it's a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just certain human elements to this. Like, they might look at this kid and just go, you know what? He's going to be perfect for X, Y, and Z in our scheme.
Yeah.
And they see something that maybe somebody else doesn't. Like, the Chiefs get bagged on pretty good about, you know, they don't believe in positional value the way a lot of the analytics community does. Yeah, they keep winning. I mean, they're doing something all right. And I know people roll their eyes. So it's because they have Mahomes. Yeah, you're right. They do. That's part of it.
Right.
You're right. Like, they have Patrick Mahomes. And they have all these guys around them. And I think the Chiefs, and I believe correctly, look at the team and say, hey, if we can protect him and we build the rest of the team around the star player, we're good.
Yeah.
Because we can always find guys. Like, they're always going to be able. Or I shouldn't say always, but usually be able to find the Rashad Fentons.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to be able to find the Mike Danis. Guys who are rotational players, guys who can come in, do a nice job, be a solid piece. Maybe, you know, like Derek Nnadi, right? Now Nnadi's a better player than those, but be a guy who maybe doesn't get like a Pro Bowl accolade, but is a guy who's going to come and do a good job. I thought the Chiefs this offseason had one objective: protect Mahomes.
Yeah.
I don't know that you could. I mean, could they have done a better job than they did? I mean, they went out and got everybody. I mean, they could almost fill two offensive lines.
Yes.
With as many guys as they have on this team now. So, I mean, to me, this whole offseason was about that. And to a broader point, it was about we are not going to be out-toughed anymore.
Yeah.
And I think for years, as great as they've been, the one knock on that, and it's a knock on a lot of high-flying offensive teams, is they're a finesse team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, defensively, I don't know that they've been a finesse team. I don't know that too many people would say Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Honey Badger, finesse guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Certainly not to their face.
Yeah, absolutely.
you know, but I think the offensive side of the ball, let's be honest, it has been a finesse team.
Sure.
I mean, if it's third and one, they're throwing a pop pass outside because it can't run for a yard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that has been the way they've played. And I think Brett Veach and company basically looked at this team and said, you know what? We're not doing that anymore. Like, if we need a yard, we're running power behind Brown and Sooney.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. And one thing that also went away a lot last year, Jeff Schwartz, I want to give him credit, made this point. I totally agree with him. They did not throw screens nearly as much last year.
Yeah.
They have such an intricate screen game with Andy Reid. And I think a lot of that was just they had so many injuries that they didn't trust their offensive linemen to do it. It's a lot to ask. Creed Humphrey is very athletic.
Mm.
Lucas Niang is very athletic. Joe Tooney is very athletic. Orlando Brown is a monster of a human being. Like, that line is going to be a problem on screen games, especially when you've got 5'9" Clyde Edwards-Helaire behind it.
Right.
You can't even see him, and he's just darting all over the place. I just and by the way, the Jerron Reed, even on the same side of the ball, I think also speaks to that. Like, we're going to be tougher. We're not going to get pushed around. You're not just going to run the ball down our throat at times anymore. Like that, the Chiefs, to me, they basically made a point. You're not going to beat us at the line of scrimmage anymore. And I got to be frank, if you're in the AFC, that's terrifying because the way to beat the Chiefs was, hey, we're going to try to do what the Bucs did. Then you're not going to probably have the offensive line to face that the Bucs did, but we're going to beat them up. We're going to get them home. We're going to knock them around. If they're healthy, you're not knocking them around. They are. I mean, right now, as they sit, you could make an argument that they have a top five offensive line. I mean, now you got to kind of see how the right side plays out. But what? I mean, and if Mitchell Schwartz comes back, forget it.
Right.
So, They've done a nice job this offseason. I thought they did well in the draft.
Two very quick things. One is I just would like to note that I have the visual image of Orlando Brown wearing Clyde Edwards-Helaire like a backpack because he absolutely could. It just you wouldn't even look twice. The other thing is I don't know if you have any actual update on this or not, but it's something that has become a bit of a pet cause of mine. Do you have any idea or any confidence level right now or any percentage chance right now that Bashaud Breeland ends up back on this team in 2021?
I haven't checked in on that. God, probably now, but a month ago, to be honest. I mean, it's a draft, it's taking precedence or anything else. But my last understanding, talking to a source close to that situation, is the door remains open. And I know Nate over, Nate Taylor, of course, the great Nate Taylor over at The Athletic, recently, I believe it was maybe this week, early this week, reported that, the door remains open. So I certainly trust Nate's report, and it's basically, as to my understanding, where it was a month ago. I mean, he is still out there. I can't imagine anybody's going to sign him more to a one-year deal, right? I mean, it just kind of is what it is. I think, personally, Kansas City should bring him back, should sign either Justin Houston or Melvin Ingram, and then just call it a day.
Yep, I agree 100%. If they do those two things, everything else, at least for 2021, will be nitpicking, and we will nitpick. We will pick nits. We will shuffle around the offensive line for an offseason, but none of it's going to matter because every major hole would be filled at that point. Matt, we'll let you go. Thank you very much for making the time, as always, and for carrying the show and then carrying the segment even more than usual as I powered through my fourth case of hiccups today.
Oh, it's about time you step up and earn your paycheck.
That's not going to start happening anytime soon. Thanks, Matt.
Take care.
Follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam. Check out his work at fansided.com. Check out the Stack in the Box podcast. You can read the Stack in the Box column. And it just everything that he does, he'll tweet out at Matt Verderam. Incredible work, a great insider, great information, great reports, great tweets, great times, great music, great food, great experience. I don't have the hiccups anymore. Thanks, Rudy.
You're welcome.
Rudy made a run during a Verderam answer, and I've got this relatively large metal water bottle.
Big boy.
How many? It's 32 ounces, so that's, a big Q cup at QT. I have never just chugged it halfway down in one go because I've never really had a reason to that I could think of. And I powered through half of it, and I think it stopped my hiccups. What's your water bottle size, Beards? Are we going to compare water bottle sizes?
It doesn't say.
This one's got, a double, insulator or whatever, so it looks bigger than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
I have a story about this water bottle. This water bottle is absolutely a shower. Well, let's take a break.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
God, I've got to stop drinking so heavily before the show.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Good topical liner, Beards. Good work.
Thank you.
I hate to keep lying to you guys, but we probably aren't going to get to this audio here. Because there's some stories that if we don't talk about now, I'm going to forget. And basically every week I find a story that I forgot to get to the week before. And we're going to have plenty of time to do Chiefs audio. Aw,
man.
We'll talk Chiefs draft for literally until training camp, so we'll be all right. Here are a couple of things. First of all, one, I'm going to have this tab on WebMD open for a while now, I imagine. And one of the how do I get rid of the hiccups answers... Pull on your... What do you think the answer is?
I can't say it.
I'm actually not going to tell you.
FCC violation.
On WebMD, one of the suggestions is pull on your blank.
Nose.
Rudy ear. Says nose. Beard says ear.
Left toe.
Left toe. Beards.
Tongue.
It's tongue.
Woo!
Ugh.
I don't think I get a good grip on it, I'm not going to do it because it feels gross.
You got a slippery tongue.
But, do you need to dry your tongue off first? Do you need to wrap a paper towel around it and hold on?
Gotta get some sticky gloves.
I don't want to. Here's the headline that is important to me from the Los Angeles Times that I saw a couple days ago. Great white sharks are always around. We just couldn't see them until now. Rudy's looking around the studio, which I think is the right answer here.
Land shark!
What do I have to do to see that there are sharks around me? And I guess they're chill, because if they're always around, I've been bit by a shark zero times.
That you know of.
Well, I think I would know if they bit me still.
I don't know.
Invisible bites, man.
But what a bonkers headline. Obviously, the obviously it's about people in the water. Apparently, it's the news here is that drones show California's great white sharks are closer and more common than you think.
So they're prepping for an invasion.
Yes, to the land.
Land sharks.
Researchers long wondered how sharks, but beyond their rare bites that make headlines, behave around people. Were they curious? Were they skittish? Or do they just ignore them? So far, it looks like sharks just don't care. That's the quote there. So that's
lazy sharks.
They don't care until they're hungry.
Lazy shark. Lazy shark. Lazy shark. Lazy shark. You blame beards. You blame beards. Anyway, sorry.
Who do you blame?
Beards. Also, cicadas are coming.
Oh, boy.
What are we at? This is a 17-year cicada cycle?
Yeah.
These ones can almost drink. That's what you should know with these cicadas. If these cicadas get out of the ground and they can stick around for a full calendar year...
Yeah.
They could smoke. No, I think that's changed too.
Smoke got changed to 21.
You know what? You can do it 18. Two Vote. Words for you.
Enlist in the cicada army?
Cicada army were the two words that I was going to say. Oh, cicada army. That sounds terrifying.
Watch out for the cicadas.
Do not want that in my life.
Nope.
That sounds bad.
It would sound bad. Sound real bad.
Sound the worst.
That sound would be real, real bad.
Beards, quick. Say the thing you said earlier about a cicada.
Like... 2014 or whatever, whenever.
Spit
it
out, son.
There were like the two cicadas that came out at the same time. I think I've still got a dead one in my car. I just haven't vacuumed it out yet.
Where is there a cicada hiding in your car for 2 years?
I don't know. It's dead.
Well, he says since 2014.
Oh my god, for 7 years? Where is it in your car?
In the door.
It's been there for 7 years and you haven't gotten it out yet?
I keep forgetting about it.
That thing is dust by now.
Do you carry, like, ketchup or, like, salsa packets in your guys' door compartments?
No. Napkins.
If you start doing that, Beards, you might not have a bug. You might have a tasty snack. Make Schaefer next!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.